Welcome to Digital Outbox, episode 39. Hello, it's a long time no hear or see. I can't quite work out what I should say there. Anyway,
neither of those
welcome,
two.
Yeah, welcome to episode 39. It's been a long time since our last podcast. I think it's about 2.5 weeks. So much so, Chris has been bringing up a whole load of stories from January, as if it's news.
I had a news feed error, I think.
And I'm pleased to say we've actually got more podcasters tonight than we have listeners. Joining me is, you've already heard him, it's Chris.
Hello.
It's Shaquille.
Hello.
And it's Henry.
Hello.
Hi. How are we all?
Fantastic.
You sound hungry.
I am.
I think we're all in a better mood than you are, Ian.
Yeah, that's
I'm in a quite fantastic mood. Thanks very much.
Yeah, listeners, be ready for a.
No. See, you're just trying to set the podcast off in a negative tone.
I just want to hear you rant. I'm really looking forward to it. I said I was going to host tonight, but Ian's in such a bad mood that we forced him to do it.
Our first story is BBC cuts, Chris.
Yes, we have heard that the BBC are likely to announce or are going to announce that they are...
I was
going
to say, remember this was written about a week and a half ago.
Yes, we've got
so
to remember
it has now
all
been
the
announced.
That they will be cutting the spending that they make. So they are going to be chopping the Asian network. They are going to be chopping Six Music. They're going to be cutting their website in half. And they're going to be maximizing the spend on US imports and on sports events. Maximizing the spend to 300 million. Is that not right?
Limiting the spend.
Okay. So this all seems to have come about firstly because it looks like we're going to have a Conservative government, and this is to appease that
Tory scum
and that potential, and also to recognize that we've had an advertising slump and therefore other broadcasters and producers of media are struggling, and so they're trying to resize themselves to appease their, you know, the fact that these other organizations are struggling. I don't know about you, but to me it sounds, I don't like it, basically.
I don't like it.
Well, I don't know what your opinion is.
Where I'm not sure is why they've picked on like Six Music and Asian Network. Because if you look at the viewing figures, like, you know, the stations like One Extra actually have less listeners, so why cut out some of the stations that seem to be a bit more popular?
Well, surely it's to do with actually how much they're actually costing to do. So
I think, the problem with Six Music is because some of the DJs are maybe a bit more expensive. I don't know. I'm guessing that the costs are high, even though the listeners might be higher.
There is a Facebook campaign, you'll be unsurprised to hear, to save Six Music. Funnily enough, I've not seen one for saving the Asian network. I assume there's probably one out there somewhere.
There was one yesterday with Amir Khan and a few other well-known Asian celebrities, I guess is the best way of putting it, who were campaigning on to try and keep that network going.
I think one thing I can say for the Asian network is there are a lot of independent Asian radio stations out there already. There's one in Glasgow, which is particularly popular. So I imagine that's why maybe it's one of the ones to get the chop.
Well, all the chops and the spending cuts appear to be in places where they want to give other organisations more of a foothold. Hmm. So maybe by chopping their Asian network, they're giving those local organisations more space to spread.
I think it's just to stop whoever comes in next. And I'm not saying investigating them, but basically trying to cut them for them. They would rather do it themselves and be in control of what they cut rather than somebody coming in and saying, here's the new rules.
Well, I think that's what it is. And a lot of these, what we're calling cuts at the moment, aren't necessarily cuts. They're just a redistribution of spending. So I guess they're preempting the potential for cuts coming and just saying, right, instead of getting cuts, why don't we just invest more into things like BBC Two? where we've got a foothold already, or you know, where we want to put the money rather than lose out totally.
More Burnestown, yay. Anyway, moving on, are we done?
Yes.
Well, I was actually going to ask what do you guys feel about the website being cut in half.
I'm actually not that fussed. Yeah, because I'm assuming...
It's getting a bit big, isn't it? There's content in there now.
I'm assuming it's going to be maybe some of the more ambitious projects that they've not really delivered on. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were talking about, you know, putting a whole load of content online at one point. They were, you know, and all the... You know, all these video clips are going to appear, and I've never really seen much else from it. And I don't know how much of... I mean, I think since the story was leaked, it's now 25% of staff are being cut. And I think they're talking about 25-50% of website content.
Yeah, so it's
hard to quantify what that means.
Yeah, it doesn't depend on what that content is. If it's content that we want to use and we do use every day, then that's bad. You know, if it means iPlayer is going to have to be reduced in size and scope, that's...
Well,
the only thing I did
hear about iPlayer was that they were going to not develop it for the 360. Which I don't have a problem with. Anyway, I jest.
You did.
I'm not too fussed about the website, as long as it's... I can't see them cutting the popular.
No.
I can't see them...
Again, it seems BBC News shrinking down. It seems like they've said it's going to be things like the local news and things. They're not going to spread it any further, and they'll probably contract the number of local news stories to allow local news networks to.
Which they already, I'm guessing they do it all over, but I know in Glasgow they're linking it to a lot of the local newspapers and news sites.
Yeah, they're going to be doing that more. Peterborough as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, the problem is really though that for the local news gathering is really expensive, and with all the online content and everything that's going on anyway, where you're not actually generating any revenue, it's really difficult for a lot of these guys to actually collect the news and to actually produce quality journalism. So it's quite
the bit that kind of winds me up about the BBC is you'll see like a big news story, or you'll see a court trial. And you know there is the local BBC stations, so if it's down in London, you get the local news down there, plus News 24 and BBC One News, plus you'll get Radio 4 News, plus you'll get... And it just seems to be, it's like, why can't you just send one person and one crew, or at the most two? Why is there multiple people for multiple stations? It just seems a lot of money is spent in those areas, and I just think if they worked a bit smarter, which I'm sure is easier said than done.
Hmm.
I just think there's a lot they can do to make that money spread a bit better.
But as I say, I don't think it's the fact that they're trying to economise. I think they're doing it to try and protect the money they've got already.
Yeah. Google bosses have been convicted in Italy.
So this was a story I was going to put in. This was ages ago. This started, but it actually got chopped. I think
this is just breaking. This is just breaking in your world, isn't it?
I think Ian unceremoniously chopped it as a boring story, but he's put this one in. So this is where the Google bosses were taken to court because of a video that appeared on YouTube, and under Italian law, they have identified that not everyone in the video had given granted permission to have that video shown on the internet. Now, it was a pretty ugly video, involved bullying of a disabled person. And as soon as Google were made aware that this video was on YouTube, they pulled it down. So it was, you know, they acted on it, but unfortunately, you know, it got taken to court, and they've been found guilty of having this video online, and it's sort of the outcome of it is that YouTube might not be able to operate in Italy because there's no way that they can monitor and keep an eye on all the video that gets uploaded to Google every day. So it's just a frightening outcome. I think Google are going to appeal the decision.
Mm. Oh, they've got to.
Yeah,
because that means anybody that is running a web content site, you know, can be taken to court for somebody else's content. So does that mean if somebody puts a libelous comment on our blog, does that mean that's my fault or your fault?
Well, that is the case at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah,
I mean, you are responsible for those kind of things.
You know, so. And it's just the I guess the issue you've got is running a small website. Yes, it's controllable. Running a YouTube, running a Facebook. How do you control?
That's always been Google's defense anyway, isn't it? It's like it's not whether it's possible or not. They've always said, look, we don't scan this stuff, but if you've got issues with it, then we'll take it down. Mm-hmm. And that's just a clever legal thing anyway, but this seems to throw that into
but most
question.
People think that is the sensible approach to be taken as well. Community is the one that police it, because you can't offer these things, you know, these products without having, you know, I think they said something like they need about 1,200 employees just to monitor every single day what gets uploaded, and that's just untenable for a service that's actually losing money anyway. But I mean, we've seen the wider things with the digital economy bill here, also saying that, you know, it's ISPs and providers that are becoming responsible for the content that gets shown.
Yeah, so that digital bill is getting crazy. So just the amount of add-ons and little tweaks I'm making to it, it's just going to kill everybody.
And digital economy bill is supposed to be promoting these things as well.
Yeah, but when the two Lib Dem lords last week that sneaked in, instead of giving the power to the government to shut down individual access, I've now put it in that the ISP they can now shut down address ranges, so they can basically take chunks of the internet offline.
I think, but there's a strong case of they were probably trying to do the right thing in what they were putting in, but actually, because they don't have that underlying understanding necessarily.
And who says a Lib Dem vote's a wasted vote? Moving
I don't know
on,
Ian, who says that?
Well, I don't know either. We'll soon find out.
We certainly will.
Moving on, and I guess it's more privacy issues. So within Germany, it started off. Google have been really struggling with Street View. So European Union have said that they're, instead of every 12 months, which I didn't actually know they were doing, every 12 months that Google refreshes the Street View images, within Europe they're wanting to take it down to every 6 months. It's not good. It's not Germany, it's Switzerland. Switzerland's also suing Google. So they're wanting walled gardens and private streets to be deleted as well.
Walled gardens.
Walled gardens. You shall not photograph my walled garden.
Surely this is the outside of the wall, because surely if it's a wall, you can't see it anyway.
That's part of the issue, though, isn't it? The cameras are positioned so high that you can view over the top of walls.
Yeah. Ooh. And they're also wanting to tell people, they're wanting Google to put their schedule up front. So if you know you've got, like, you know, Google is visiting today and going to take pictures, then if you want to do something, then you can do.
Yeah, hide your wall.
Yeah.
Or don't, you're just going to get crazy people, you know.
Don't
just
do your topless, like, sunbathing in the...
Yeah, exactly.
Bring out your false wall in front of your permanent wall and then hide it away once they're gone.
There'd be more people doing stupid things than ever would get caught on a normal day if you told them that they were going to get put on Google Street View.
And
you could start getting some free Google ads, though, couldn't you?
Exactly.
I mean, it wouldn't be Google ads. You could start spray painting your walled gardens for all sorts of things. You know,
you could just you know, run along. You could cycle along with your digital outbox sign, just constantly. Google has actually retaliated with a. We might just pull out of Europe then, with regards to Street View. You know, it's just not worth the cost. You know, it's just, it costs so much. And I'm guessing
my ball and you're no playing.
pretty much. I can't see them not doing it. And I don't know about Bing and its images. I don't know if it's got the same issue or not.
If they have to notify people, I guess it's going to depend on how they have to notify people. If it's, you know, a leaflet drops through everyone's door and getting permission and things like that, then ridiculous. If it's just posting it somewhere online, then...
I think it would just be posting online, surely. Surely it would just be a website that says, here's what we're doing.
And with the understanding that, you know, if you're not viewing the places where they have the notifications, then you don't really care about it anyway.
Yeah, but that's like a lot of things now. There's a lot of stuff that people just, you know, a lot of organisations and councils in particular are just saying, well, it's on your website. Go and have a look. It's for you to go and look now. Which is a bit sneaky. So I don't know. I think
I'm not surprised that they've come along and said, you know, they've retaliated and said, well, you know, if it's going to be this much bother, we just won't bother.
Have any of you guys got any big issue with Street View? I don't really mind.
No, I think it's for the service office, it's brilliant.
Mm.
Yeah, I think it's great. You know, if you're ever going to, and let's face it, I mean, all the things are doing is are what you can do if you're walking down that street anyway. So, well, yeah. That's the problem.
So nothing they've done is illegal, is it?
No,
I don't know.
No, it's not.
I don't think so.
No, you can take photographs in a public street.
I think so. I think there's certain buildings that they have some restrictions on, but I'm not sure.
I think anywhere you can go with. As a member of the public, you can take pictures of. I'm not sure, but yeah, like
I think the only issue that they've got is on people's faces, and that's why they blur them out. Because unless you actually ask for permission,
no, in a street you can still legally take picture of anyone in a public space without an issue.
But if they object, what happens?
I don't think they can have an objection legally.
Okay, I don't know.
Say legally, I don't think they have. I think the reason they blur photos, you know, cars and faces is just out of courtesy. They don't have to.
Yeah, they missed my car out, the swines.
Did they left your?
Yes.
They've got a great picture of my father-in-law at his window, standing there just looking out. Great.
Hopefully not naked.
No, fully clothed.
Moving on, we have three patent stories. Now, we've touched on patents quite a bit recently. So the first one is Shaki's going to take us through, and it's Facebook have been granted a newsfeed patent.
Yes, they have. I've just been reading up about this. Apparently this was granted just about a couple of weeks ago.
Yep.
And so they've been granted a patent for aspects of its newsfeed. Basically what that means is how they parse and distribute user stories to the people in who are in a user's friends list. So the method basically includes generating news items regarding activities associated with a user of a social network environment. And the patent name's Mark Zuckerberg, I think that's how you pronounce it, as the inventor, along with other Facebook engineers and the product people. I think the patent was originally filed way back in August 2006, and this was before Facebook newsfeed was originally launched, which was, I think, in September of the same year. Whether they sort of enforce this patent or not hasn't been decided yet. I mean, they may very well choose to ignore it.
But I guess that's a big question. Is it for something for them to go and chase other people with, or is it just to protect their position in the future?
I'm not sure if it's going to be such a huge issue. I don't think it's like, from my point of view, I don't think it's like how news feed is displayed on websites. I think it's just like the way Facebook display theirs.
You know, like the patent is actually for, it's showing a list of your friends' news items and their comments and things that they've done, but also passing that through an algorithm which sort of prioritizes it based on who they are and what the action has been taken. Does it not just stink as a patent application, though? You know, I just think it's very weak.
I just think if you look back and you see things like, and I've put it in the notes at the time, but Flickr has a news stream dating from 2004 and an activity stream from 2006. You know,
yeah,
January.
But isn't that like kind of like, I don't know what the right word is, but it's like a flat sort of news feed, isn't it? It's always about the same thing. Whereas I think the one with the Facebook, that's more like, for example, if you put up a link to a website, it's not exactly like a status update. It's something else. It's like a separate entity.
But if I look at Google Buzz, if I look at FriendFeed, if I look at a lot of these different things.
Yeah, so let's be clear that this patent means that what they're doing with their own news feeds is now they should be paying Facebook for.
Potentially. And that's why, and it depends if they're going to use it aggressively or it's just to protect themselves going forward.
But whatever, it's there to be able to limit it if they so choose. Yeah. I think it's a weak, I cannot understand how this has been granted.
Yeah, I mean, it does say it's just for like aspects of the way they display their newsfeed. So it's not it's not like just the newsfeed itself. So it might not apply to Flickr or Twitter. But again, it's the one to keep an eye on, I think, just to see how it develops.
Definitely.
Yeah. As a developer, sorry, go on. Sorry.
Well, what they've got here is just that's the way Facebook works, and they're trying to protect the way Facebook works so that nobody else tries to set up another Facebook. But that's a complete nonsense. I mean, the reason Facebook works is because everybody and their dog's on it. So
the software; it's the people are there.
Yeah. So you can't really get another.
I mean,
thing
Twitter,
like that,
Twitter right? doesn't work if you don't follow anybody.
No.
But if you follow enough people and start to engage, it works.
Yes, I mean, say as a developer myself, if a client comes along and wants a product where, you know, say an internal intranet type thing, do I have to apply to Facebook if I want to show news in an aggregated format based on who the news is coming from? You know, it just becomes a nonsense. Or if I develop it and then it gets highlighted as something that Facebook don't want to allow, you know, all that work is gone.
Say as a developer, if you had come up with that idea in the first place, would you not want to maybe protect that idea? If no one else was doing it at the time, the way Facebook is doing it now, and you developed that, surely you'd then want to protect that idea.
I think that there's a big difference between a small developer coming up with a concept that they want to protect, and a large large company or large megacorp protecting every single sneeze that they did during development.
How about this then? I mean, they filed for this back in, 2006? And the way the news feed is presented now to how it was in 2006, it has changed and developed quite a bit, I think, anyway. And maybe, you know, Mark Zuckerberg already had all these ideas and he just, you know, they're incrementally adding them in. And they weren't like a huge company back then, you know, when it maybe Facebook first launched.
But you can't patent ideas, and software patents like this, they're just bad. They just inhibit innovation, and they stop things actually moving forward. They don't actually protect the little guy, which is what patents are supposed to do. They're just really bad. It's just a terrible idea, and as soon as they get this sorted out, particularly in the States, and throw out the majority of, to take this to the Amazon One Click and business methods that you could start patenting, you know, the world's gone absolutely mad in this whole area, and they really need to sort it out because this is nonsense.
Well, I think that it's been, you know, these next the three stories we're covering now just shows that.
So the next one was actually around Google being granted a location-based advertising patent.
I mean, good grief. I mean, this really is this. I mean, this is exactly the same league of, you know, really scraping the bottom of the barrel of patents. Really, I mean, location-based advertising. I mean, I can understand obviously why Google would want to go down that route, and to me it's completely irrelevant whether they're going to use it aggressively or defensively, whether they're going to go after every other advertising.
The fact is they've still been granted it, and that's the issue.
It is an issue, and it's it's a real nonsense. You know, what about Yell or Yelp or, you know, Foursquare, or you know there's huge numbers of these things, and are they all going to have to start paying Google for maybe that would be quite good, though. Maybe Yelp would be put out of business. I mean, the worst business model ever. You know, we'll write up dodgy reviews, and then they will and then we'll send the boys round. And if you want rid of those reviews, then if you give us some money, then perhaps they'll go away. You know, or your positive allegedly, or your positive spin on the things could be positive review could be put at the top.
Yeah. But I mean, there's things like, I mean, Facebook and Apple. I mean, Apple have just bought that. I can't remember the name of the company they bought with this mobile advertising. You know, so it's limiting. And one that I'm surprised that actually took so long to come to the table is Apple going after HTC, Chris.
Yes, so Apple have, again, filed a lawsuit against HTC this time for what it's calling 20 of its own patents, based on the iPhone's user interface and its architecture. So Steve Jobs came out and said, we can sit by and watch competitors steal our patent inventions, or we can do something about it. and we've decided to do something about it. And it's so it's exactly the same thing again. They're going after HTC for a number of different ideas, including I think the swipe to unlock your phone on the touchscreen.
Yeah.
And there's a number of other things like that effectively Android has since come along and done very similar ideas or used similar ideas. And Apple are saying, you know, we like competition, but don't just copy what we're doing. but the problem is when you change technologies to a touch interface, there's only a number of ways you can do it. I mean, take the swipe to unlock. I mean, are we going to get to a point where no other person can swipe to unlock? They have to do a circle to unlock instead just to be different. It all gets ridiculous.
It does. But Will Shipley last week sent out a great open letter to Apple about why this was a particularly bad idea and really why, you know, when Apple innovate and if someone's copying you, then that's good if you're constantly innovating, because they're always going to be playing catch up. So if you start going down the enforcing your patent route as aggressively as this, then what you're doing, it's the lawyers and that win, and you're not focused on innovating and providing great products for your customers.
Well, Apple are obviously currently suing and being sued by, is it Nokia as well?
Yeah.
Just on that, there was a great post on the New York Times last week, and we'll put a link in the show notes. I feel I should record that every week that I say that.
Just play the button.
Yeah, an explosion of mobile patent lawsuits. And it's just one of these nice little infographics, and it shows you that Nokia is suing Sharp, Samsung, LG Group, Toshiba, Hitachi, Qualcomm, and Apple. And Qualcomm and Apple are in turn suing Nokia. Elan Microelectronics and Kodak are suing Apple. Apple are suing HTC. And it's just crazy the amount of suing that's going on right now.
And there's no winners in this. What they're going to get out of it is, you know, first of all, a really restricted industry where no one can do anything. They're going to be spending billions on lawyers. And what do they stand to gain other than just bogging themselves down in litigation? It just seems
Well, they stand to gain. They stand to gain HTC's being unable to be sold in the US. So, I mean,
Apple all won. I mean, that's most of the Android phones in America now no longer for sale.
And Qualcomm did the same years ago with some of their chips as well, their CDMA chips, and they banned the 3G chips from coming in, which is, you know, why you don't have the stuff there. While the litigation goes on, if they can get an injunction that stops those things being sold, then they're on a winner, aren't they?
They're on a winner until the point where if they are the only option, then they have massive competition issues and then they get
stung. Can you imagine Nokia winning and then there's no more iPhones for sale?
And in fact, if everyone wins their respective claims, then there's nothing left, is there?
No, we'll have no phones.
I think most of these claims are just to protect each other, aren't they? Like, so if somebody sues you, then you're going to sort of sue someone else. And it's just like a threat rather than, something that they'll...
But I think having nuclear weapons.
But there is a big difference between... There is a big difference between having a patent and having the potential to use it and actually going ahead and using it and going after and chasing somebody. And the bit I thought was quite sneaky about the Apple one was how they went after HTC, and the press release was all about HTC, but if you read the detail, it's actually Androids are going after.
And that's the big thing here, because Google have almost called the bluff on this, because they realised that this isn't really about HTC. It just seems like Apple are going after them because it's an easy target. Yeah. And Google have come along and said, we will stand by our partners with the Android operating system, and effectively saying we will shove Google money behind any claims that Apple wants to make about Android, basically.
And so, if you go back, sorry, Chris.
No, I was just going to say that, you know, everyone in America is now gearing up and quite excited about this whole massive mega war going, you know, just about to happen between all these organizations. But they're fools in that they're the ones that will lose out.
Fools,
absolutely. Oh, they are.
Pity the fool. we'll have to pay royalties on that, won't we?
Yeah, that's it now. Well, that's been patented.
Well, the ironic thing is, if you go back a few years at Apple, they were quite gladly. I mean, Steve Jobs was quite almost boastfully talking about how they would copy the best things from everybody to make the best product. And they'd no issue about it.
Think about how much money would be available to product development and innovation if they didn't do all this. I was just about to swear and give us an explicit tag.
No, please resist.
I have. Insert swear words here.
Right. Seeing as we've got the Apple fanboys here tonight, we'll do a couple more Apple stories. So, app crackdown. There's been more app crackdowns, Henry.
Yeah, well, this was a story from a wee while ago now, but the Apple Apple changed their policy and decided that they were going to get rid of all the overtly sexual apps on the App Store, even though there's an age rating.
No more tits and boobies.
None of that at all.
And Henry, I assume that because this is such a wide-ranging thing that would affect so many different people, that they would have told everyone they were going to do this.
Yeah, well, of course, didn't say anything, but you just pulled a whole load of stuff. Actually, that's not, to me, not so much the issue. The issue is that they've allowed Playboy app and a number of Sports Illustrated. And a number of others. And to me, it's like, you know, if you're going to have, if you're going to make a stand like this on moral grounds or whatever, then that's great, but be consistent.
Yeah, definitely. That was such a cop out.
And that was that was really poor. I think the other thing is that the way that they've done this is also poor by saying that they were allowing them. There's a very simple technical thing that you can do for this. You just stop displaying apps on a phone that's got a parental lock on it.
That's what I don't understand. They've got the parental locks there, so to me this was their App Store failing, rather than the actual, you know, the any of the publishers were doing anything wrong.
And also the you know, of course the whole thing was funny anyway, because you were getting, you know, Twitter apps that were being banned for content because words that were trending weren't appropriate, or but then you've got, you know, as soon as you put a web browser or anything, then there's stuff that's available which you know, you wouldn't want your kids to see.
And that was the big thing about this, wasn't it? That if you look at the adult apps as well, and the only thing I mean, I was getting annoyed by how many there was. Every time you looked at a list, didn't matter which category it was, it had, you know, something a bit shady in it, and it was getting annoying. But at the same time, Safari and iTunes carry the same content, if not worse.
Yes.
So what stops me?
Where are Apple going to stop this? The reason they've decided they're going to pull all these is because they've received complaints. And you can understand that when you don't have parental lock features in your App Store based on content that can be considered adult, you're going to get complaints. But where does their censorship stop? If they're not willing to put that adult content in place, are they going to decide what is morally right and wrong in the world?
The actual quote from Uncle Phil Schiller was, it came to the point where we were getting customer complaints from women who found the content getting too degrading and objectionable, as well as parents who were upset with what their kids were able to see. Which I think is fair enough. And there was talk that there was going to be an adult category added in, and that would be locked down, but it would allow these developers to put their content in that category.
And I say, we're all saying that's a good idea, but what we're saying is, you know, just bonkers, is just literally pulling a whole ton of stuff without letting anyone know you're going to do it.
5,000 apps.
So overnight just doing it. And the usual thing of where does the distinction between what is right and wrong and what is adult
nonsense.
And not adult, and, you know.
But it's not even the what is adult. You know, when asked about Sports Illustrated, that Mr. Schiller said Apple took the source and intent of an app into consideration. The difference is this is a well-known company with previously published material available broadly in a well-accepted format.
The difference is that this is a company with huge legal teams.
So if I'm a 9-year-old kid and I know that Playboy app's got, you know, tits in it, yay. But if I'm a 9-year-old kid and I don't know that an app called Tits and Boobies has tits, isn't it? Well, I don't see what the difference is.
Nonsense. The difference is the amount of money that Apple make out of them.
Yeah, shady.
It's all ridiculous. I mean, the other app stores seem to have got this licked, which is, you know, the Android says it's a free-for-all. Anyone can put anything in the app store. Windows Mobile 6.5 has even got the good solution, which is having an app store.
Windows Classic, I think you'll find.
Now Classic, yeah. So they've got an app store which has got their authorized stuff in it, but if you want to install something else, you're free to go and do it. They're both solutions that work, and they certainly work without the, you know, the amount of, well, again, swear words.
Anyway, another category that was deleted, and it was only a small category, was Wi-Fi detectors. But that was slightly more expected because we're using a private framework, which has been banned for quite a while.
Well, all private frameworks are banned.
So yes.
You're not allowed to use any of those.
You know that's happening anyway. So it's one of these things. It's like they're in the rules. At least it was in the rules. Whereas other stuff, I mean, I can certainly see one of these other developers being fairly aggrieved that they've got a top 10 app, or, I mean, some of the developers had like a number of top 10 apps, and then overnight their revenue stream's gone.
Yeah, I think that some, they were saying it's from £300 a day down to £5 a day.
It's a tough life.
It's
a hard life.
It's a big deal if that's feeding your family and, you know.
Away with your negativity. You're just spinning that out.
I don't think I am.
Yeah.
Okay. Can sense the Apple hate in your voice.
It did bug me.
Anyway, moving on to
it's dodgy that these guys are making money out of that kind of content.
And
anyway,
that's the only thing. I've got to see if somebody
never mind taking the stuff off. They should, you know, they should shouldn't be having it there in the first place.
If somebody asked me, do I want that content there? Not the way it was being displayed. If they'd put in proper parental, you know,
they should have an option to not be able to see that, and that's that's really the issue to me.
Definitely,
that's fine. But where do you draw the line? It's an impossible line to draw.
No, it's not.
Where
at all. You just say, look, they're the gatekeepers, so they can say that your particular app is a 17 plus or an 18 plus app, and then they just say, right, you know, if you've got a parental lock on, then you
but they haven't done that. That's the
particular
point.
Product. Well, no, I know they haven't done that, but that really is the straightforward way around it that keeps everybody happy.
No sexual connotations or innuendo. nothing that can be sexually arousing. No skin.
No donkey apps for you then, Chris.
I mean, take it sexual innuendo. Take off any Radio 4 comedy podcast then.
For an hour.
Well, you know, it's just...
Yeah, but I mean, to keep like... their image, you know, they're a bit like Nintendo, aren't they? They have this sort of clean image that they try to, you know, protect and maintain. So surely they're within their rights to, you know, if there's some...
But if you remember back to the start of the App Store, there was none of that kind of content, and then they started opening it up.
Yeah, and the thing is, look, you look at iTunes, right? You don't see that stuff. If there's anything with an explicit tag and you've got your parental lock on, you just don't see anything like that. So why they can't do that on the App Store when they've got it on iTunes already, it's a real mystery to me.
Definitely. And I don't know if it's just an oversight with roundabout that App Store. And I don't know why. I mean, I'd hate to think that we're waiting for a new iPhone OS to deal with that kind of issue. So they've knee-jerked into, well, our only option is taking all the content away.
They're spending all their money on suing people rather than spending their money on developing.
Oh, negative, Chris. Honestly, what a drain. Moving on. Shaquille, lift our spirits with some fantastic iPod news. Oh, iPad. I keep saying iPod.
Whoops.
It's okay. I'll fix that and edit.
Is it really good news if it's been pushed back a little bit?
Well, it lets people like Henry finish off developing their fantastic apps for it.
Well, apparently the launch of the iPad has been pushed back, or forward, should I say, slightly.
Back.
Okay. Semantics. You'll be able to pre-order both the Wi-Fi and the 3G version from March 12th.
In America.
And you'll be able to go and pick up the Wi-Fi only from the 3rd of April.
In America.
In America. and the 3G one from the end of April.
A Claymore song
in America. And the UK launch, along with several other countries like Australia, Canada, Japan, etc., has been pushed back to late April as well.
Come on, Apple, sort it out.
So not only that, but with the state of the of sterling at the moment, that everybody's now saying it's going to be 400 plus in the UK. Exactly. You feel that sting?
Yeah.
So, still buying one, are we?
I don't know. I mean,
I don't know.
Some of the stuff looks really, really nice, but, you know, I think we've discussed this like way back in the past about books, you know, like your good old-fashioned books. And I still, like, if there's a book that I really like, I still like to have that, you know, like a hard copy, if you know what I mean.
But you're in your 40s now, you know,
that's
so I don't
true.
Know.
But
I don't
having said that,
really made for you.
Having said that, Penguin Books.
They had some nice ideas.
Yeah, they've got some really sort of like interactive books for kids. And
so adults.
Not yet. So some of them look, you know, some of their videos that they've showed so far look quite promising. So.
Yeah.
No, I think particularly with the 3G option, I'm getting more and more tempted, and particularly when you see the physical size of the keyboard on the it's bigger than my MacBook Pro keyboard, or at least the same size. The how that works when you don't get the feedback from the keys, I'd like to see. But
I think it's one of these. It's one of these ones to try in the store, isn't it? Just to get a gun and type for 5-10 minutes and just see how it feels.
Oh yeah.
But I must admit, I'm still very undecided. In fact, I just can't figure out what to do with all my different computery things.
I mean, again, we've sort of speculated on the price, and it probably will be around that price because that's how it works most of the time.
Yeah, although apparently. Play.com had made a mistake, and they were talking about from Google products, they were saying it was $499 maybe today, so maybe that was just a US dollar you know, a dollar.
So I think, you know, like the price is quite steep, but I think comparing it to what you're actually getting in terms of like hardware, it's reasonable, but from a consumer's point of view, it's still not one of those you know, compelling buys that you just think, oh, I've got a little bit of cash then buy, I'll just go out and buy one. Unless you're Ian, of course, and then you probably would.
Thanks for that.
I think it's one of those products that's maybe not meant for our audience, which is why we're undecided or don't really know what to do about it. You know, there's definitely people out there that this will suit their needs of that protected
definitely.
The protected
Could the four
environment
people
where
listen
you can surf
to us,
the web.
Please write in.
Three people. Remember, we do have more podcasters than listeners tonight. I'm still swithering.
11.
Anyway, moving on. One of our common themes. God, we've still got quite a lot of stories. One of our common themes has been streaming music. So I'll do this one quickly. Wii 7, which I think we mentioned when Spotify was kicking around, and we'd never heard of before, but they've now launched an iPhone app with an Android app coming soon. Similar price to Spotify, $9.99. Stream everything you like, offline playlists, no adverts, 192 kilobits per second, and if you don't want the mobile option, it's only a fiver a month for advert-free, higher quality streaming of music. Very vague on their tracks, just saying millions of tracks, but it's another good option in the UK instead of relying on an actual purchase and store type thing.
Yeah, I've been using the website rather than the apps, and it's crashed on me a few times, but it feels much more like sort of Last FM.
Yeah, but you're on Windows, yeah?
But it's the website that crashed, not my computer.
Moving on. Exactly. Browser choice, Chris.
Yep, so basically if you're running Internet Explorer as your default in Windows, and you have updated your computer with Windows Update, then you will see the browser choice screen. This is the European requested or European forced Microsoft to offer different browsers instead of just IE on Windows. So you get to choose between the normals, Chrome, Firefox, Internet Explorer, and Opera and Safari. And then we've got some different browsers in there, which you can choose.
Bloody unheard of. What are these?
So there's a browser called Avant, Flock, Green Browser, KMelon, Max Thon.
Oh, is that supposed chameleon. To be Chameleon? KMelon.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of ruined their branding, didn't I?
I wonder how long they spent thinking of a name to get a catchy domain name just for people to call it KMelon.
And what's that? What's the second last one?
Well, I just thought it was some Sleipner.
And Slim. But effectively, as with most things, the underlying rendering engines, there's only actually, I think, three or four here. Mm. So of 10 choices you get, five of them are actually based on the Internet Explorer renderer. Three of them are based on Gecko.
Block is, isn't it?
Yeah, and then is it Safari's WebKit? Is that right?
Yep.
And then there's the final one, which is the Opera. I don't even know what they call theirs, but they're unique. So that people have been complaining, there's not as much choice as you think there is, because most of them are running, you know, the other browsers' underlying architecture anyway.
But that's all the choice there is.
Yeah.
Yes.
But the other thing is this, and I'm not a Windows user, and all I've seen is the screenshots. But if you've got IE's default, this pops up. You then get a choice of five, and they're randomly picking the order, so that it's not guaranteed to be IE and it's all the same order. But it's the order, that the first five you see are the big five. So surely that is still choice.
Yes, and say you have to scroll sideways to get to the other options. But to be honest, I would never recommend to people that they use any of these other ones anyway.
I might start recommending KMelon.
I think you should recommend Slim.
Max.
Not when Chris is around anyway.
Attacked from all angles.
So one little interesting add-on to that, there was a review on Tom's Hardware. They'd done a browser test, not of the KMelon, but of the kind of popular browsers. And what came out as the best is Chrome.
Or Chrome, right, as it's written there.
Yeah, but I can't type, but I can at least work out that it should be Chrome. Unlike you with your KMelon.
I'm not Tom's Hardware, and I haven't done an in-depth review, but I still say Chrome's the best as well.
Oh, no.
On the Mac, I still prefer Safari, but on PC, I really, I'm loving the Chrome. Any different view?
Nope.
Well, there you go. Conclusive proof that it's either Chrome or no. Virgin Broadband are going to offer 100 meg broadband by the end of this year.
Yay.
No word in pricing. Currently they offer 10, 20 and 50 meg at 20, 30 and £38 respectively. And they're also extending the 200 meg trial, ironically, to Coventry.
They're sending it to Coventry.
Yes. The guy in charge, who is a guy called Neil Burkett, allegedly. There is nothing we can't do with our fibre optic cable network, and the upcoming launch of our flagship 100 meg service will give our customers the ultimate broadband experience.
I love that. There is nothing we can't do.
Nothing we can't do.
We can solve world wars. Poverty will be no more with our fibre optic network.
I mean, it can also throttle you as long as you don't download over 3 gig a day. But good to see that speed. I actually got my BT Infinity mail shot through the post last week saying that, yay, come and join us and get up to 40 meg and a 2 meg up. And the small print was, there's a 20 gig limit a month. The throttling will be in place probably all times. There's 50 quid activation and you're on an 18-month contract.
Wow.
All BT's contracts are 18 months. So,
yeah.
So let's not, you know, that's just what BT do now. You can't get a shorter contract.
No, that's
12
horrible.
Months used to be sucky, but 18 months is a long time.
Yeah.
How much is that monthly then?
Oh, I can't remember.
Right.
But it just totally put me off just with the limiting. It's the limits in place.
Even 20 gigs seems quite low, actually, doesn't
Tiny.
It?
Tiny.
You think what you can... You know, if you've got a 40 meg broadband service, you could download, and fair enough, not everybody's doing it, but you could download a DVD in what, for 15 minutes? And that's 5 gig?
Yep.
You know, so you're looking at it within a couple of hours, you could be hitting your limit. Easy.
And not necessarily even know it if you're not used to keeping an eye on how much you're using and stuff.
No. If you were permanently using iPlayer, I'm convinced 20 gig will just drift by very, yeah. very quickly.
I mean, in my household, there's like three of us simultaneously using the internet, like my yeah. brother, myself and my sister. So between us, you know, 20 gig is nothing.
Mm. And I just think it's a very, very, very small limit.
Mm.
Very small. Anyway, let's finish off with a couple of gaming stories. Henry, the PS3, the Fat Death.
Yeah, this was, it turned out to be a leap year bug in the software of the old PS3s. Not the new slim ones, but the old fat ones.
Fat ones.
And basically people trying to log on the 29th of February, well, obviously there wasn't a 29th of February because it's not a leap year, but the system thought it was the 29th of February, but couldn't tell the front end, which correctly thought it was the 1st of March. And so the whole thing said games are bogey and you can't get onto your PlayStation network. You can't play games and things.
No, so, very poor.
We have identified a time shift continuum. Today is not today and therefore you cannot play.
How bad is that?
The thing that annoyed me was it wasn't just stopping online game, it stopped you playing offline as well.
Yeah. Yeah, just the whole thing just...
I am stuffed. So, very, very poor.
Apparently they put a follow-up post up, didn't they, and said, if you haven't already switched your PS3 on or tried to play a game, then don't, because some of your saved game data could get corrupted as well.
Yeah, I mean, it was a really quite nasty, nasty bug. It didn't just, like, you know... And the thing is, it's the press, you know, BBC News, it was in some of their top headlines, don't play your PS3.
The thing is, surely, you know, that's a schoolboy error, that is, you know, like, well,
it,
that sort
it,
of
it is software testing, isn't it, or yeah. a lack of, and, yeah. and this is stuff that, you know, they did check that it worked on leap years. And this
but
is
what, other, what other device had this chip? Because there was another device not so long ago that this happened on. I'm trying to remember what it was.
The cell chip?
Yeah, but no, it wasn't a cell chip, there's a specific chip. And there's another electronic device that exhibited. Oh, was it the Zune? It was the Zune,
The Zune.
In America, I think all Zune stopped working on and a couple of years ago.
I don't think they ever worked in the first place. So,
and a kind of slightly similar story over the weekend. Ubisoft's DRM authentication server went down. So even if you wanted to play Assassin's Creed 2 on the PC and you weren't going online at all, you couldn't play it. Which just is absolute craziness.
Very poor, isn't it? The way that works now, the DRM, that you've got to be connected to the internet before you can do anything. And
the thing is, it just makes a lot of people say, "Well, I don't want this. I want to strip this away so that I've not got that overhead now."
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, they're going to bring out games, and they've even said they are going to do it where you cannot play without having an internet connection. Mm. So you can't. It's not like it wants to connect once and then identifies you as okay. It just will if you haven't got an internet connection or their servers go down, they will not let you play some of their new games. And it's like you say, it's the only people being penalized, the people with real consoles and real games.
If I go and buy this,
hacked consoles, hacked games, they will get around this easy.
If I'm a legitimate user, I'm being penalized. And it really hacks me. It hacks me off sitting there watching blooming Blu-rays and DVDs and seeing all the crap at the start as well.
It's really bugging me recently. And
it's just so
beginning
long.
Of every single time you shove a disc in, you have to sit through 5 minutes of people telling you don't record this.
And I've bought it. I'm the one that's bought it.
It's in my blooming drive.
Yeah. and you can't skip it either.
You can't press the bloody next button.
Anyway, iPhone's going to get a competitor from Sony.
Allegedly, well, you know, they're going to launch this Sony online service that was talked about that a couple of weeks ago, which sounds quite interesting. Trying to take on iTunes and provide games and music and things to Sony customers, PSPs, and Sony Ericsson phones, and all these kind of things. And they're talking about bringing out a PSP phone and a tablet, funny hybrid between the, you know, blurring the lines between the netbook and the phone. You know, we've heard it all before, all that kind of stuff. And, well, just hope it's be a bit better than the PSP Go.
Go!
And I do wonder if it's a bit too little too late anyway. Do you definitely.
I don't know.
I just think the thing that iPhones and iPods have got going for them is maybe the price of the games. They're sort of like, I know some of them can seem a bit expensive, but compared to like other handheld consoles, they are, you know, quite cheap.
No, they're cheap. Yeah. And they are cheap. I think that's, and a lot of developers are hacked off, I think, just because of the just how low a price certain things are. You know, it's obviously certain, you know, certain development teams can churn out a game and sell it for, you know, 99 cents or $1.99.
Yeah. Well, I just think that those kind of developers then need to get away from the idea of, you know, spending loads of money developing a game, or, you know, making like a top of the range game for a device such as, you know, the iPhone or the iPod. They need to maybe focus on more sort of bite-sized type games and, you know, sell them in quantity rather than increasing the price and selling fewer numbers.
The only reason I paused when you were talking about is it too little too late is if I look at how the PS3 has developed, and you've now got VidZone, you've now got so much content you can actually get your hands on.
Yeah.
It still feels very, I don't know, just not connected. Mm-hmm. It's like the front end's all over the place still, it feels like.
I mean, that home just seems to be a total waste of time, as far as I'm concerned.
I still think if they got it in the right package, there's still potential, because they just own so much licenses as well.
Yeah.
There's so much of a market that they could own.
I can't really see them, you know, like coming up with a new gaming model so that they can charge less money for games. Not any of their big franchises, certainly not for those.
Interestingly, did you see the Zune? Not the Zune, the Windows, or what is it called? Windows Phone 7 series.
Yeah.
There was a demo 2 days ago that showed a guy playing a game on his phone and then continuing to play the same game from where he left off on the phone on his Windows machine, on his PC.
Right. No,
and then playing
that.
The same
and then
game again.
He moved on to the 360 and continued playing the same game.
That's interesting.
You know, and that's finally starting to use Xbox Live, which is going to be on all three platforms.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, you know, it's taken, you know, even if you've got little simple games, to be able to, like, wherever you are, play the same game and play the same people is going to be quite compelling.
And I guess it can only work for games that can work on a handheld device, so it won't be any game.
Unless you take the, instead of saying taking the limiting factor as, you know, the lowest end device, you could surely do supporting apps. And I was thinking straight out of the box, World of Warcraft, get people who are already hooked on that, and then every second that they're not at home playing on their PC, they can check up on their mobile phone and start, you know.
There's a whole load of things that you'll start to see. I mean, even daft little things like, you know, if you've got an iPhone sitting there, not an iPhone, but if you've got a Windows 7 whatever phone sitting there and you're playing the next version of Call of Duty, you know, and you've got it all connected up, and for those people with these phones, you get to do a little extra thing, and it gives you extra stat points on your guns. You're going to get all that kind of stuff to make it people want to buy that phone. It's I think it's going to be a really strong platform.
But surely anyway, then you're limiting that platform to sort of maybe people are into gaming rather than.
I don't think you're limited. It's just one of the things that will get. If you look at a lot of the people that are playing on 360s right now and PS3s, probably a lot of them have iPhones as well. But there's nothing to make them switch.
No.
If you could say, well, here's this other service that you can only get on a Windows phone, then people will go for it, I think.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, again, it's for gamers more rather than like a bigger audience.
I know, but they need to start with something, because at the moment there's nothing. I mean, it's like, if you look at their traditional market, it's probably business.
Yeah.
So, anyway, we're on to the world famous picks.
Woohoo!
Yay!
I'm going to do mine first, just to be like that. Mine is an iPhone game, because I've not done anything on the iPhone for quite a while now. And it's...
cheap.
It's a game called Plants versus Zombies.
Rhymes.
Now, Plants versus Zombies started off as, I think it was a desktop Flash game, or it was a desktop game, and I don't know if it was in Flash, shouldn't I said that. And it's a, I guess it's one of these kind of simple arcade strategy games, and the whole point is you're protecting your house from zombies, and you plant different plants to kill the zombies. The more you kill, the more points you get, and then you start to get different plants, and it starts to get a bit more strategic about that you can only buy certain plants. You may have, as you get into the game, you might have 20 or 30 different plants to choose from, but you can only have slots for 8 or 9 of those plants. And graphics, superb. It's one of these games where, see, because you can do just one level at a time, you could just play for 5 minutes and then that's enough. Mm. So I think it's just it's just superb.
There's some
on
brilliant humour in there as well.
Oh,
very funny.
And it's only, I can't remember the price, but I don't think it's that much. It's one of these daft.
Mm. About $2.75 or something like that. You know?
Yeah, and I just think for the amount of gameplay I've got out of it,
yeah,
it's value for money, superb.
It's by PopCap, who did Peggle as well, didn't they?
Yeah,
they're right on this. They know exactly what people want out of their
iPhone. Initially, it feels quite easy, doesn't it?
Yeah, but it soon builds up, yeah, and it starts to get some really tricky moments, and you're like, oh no, I'm going to die here. And I just think it's great. The sound is great in it as well, and the graphics, again, just to me, it just sums up all the best bits about what an iPhone game should be.
Yeah. The Michael Jackson zombies are brilliant.
Interestingly, they reckon they've made a record. They've sold 300,000 copies in 9 days,
wow,
which is more than $1 million in sales, which That's is phenomenal.
Shows absolutely if you get it phenomenal. Right, there's money still in it.
Yep.
Oh, absolutely. So, Plants vs. Zombies.
Until Apple decide that you're not allowed zombies on
their
platform.
Here we go. Give it a rest.
Exactly. Henry, your pick, please.
Yes. My pick is it's an attachment for your mail. The mail app on Windows. And all it does is it puts up a little dialogue box that says when you've put an attachment, mentioned that you've put an attachment on an email, but you've not actually attached the attachment.
Which I do quite a bit.
I do that quite a bit.
Everyone does it, don't they?
Yeah. And I just hate having to send out that grovelling email afterwards saying, oh, I'm so sorry, I've been so stupid, and I said I'd send that attachment, and here it is, by the way.
Or at work, doing the recall, and knowing deep down that it won't really work, but you do it anyway.
It's just, yeah, and it's one of those real annoying things, because you've just been stupid. So this anything that helps me not be quite so stupid is great, and it's free, and it's simple, and it's invisible, and you just download it, pull it, install it, and forget about it, and you just reminded when you try and send an email where you've put an attachment. Or hadn't put the attachment, but said you were going to put one. So, great.
Just for the Mac, then, is it?
Just for the Mac, just for mail, the mail app, Mac.
Yeah. So, you can also enable it in Gmail. So, there's a little, I don't know if it's a Labs extra, but if you're going to Gmail and enable Labs, you can turn it on through Gmail. So, if you're on the web browser and you're sending something, it does the same sort of thing. And just when you mention Mac apps, I forgot to mention as one of the stories this week about the change in price for being a Mac developer.
Yeah, now it's down to $99, and it's triggered a ridiculous amount of speculation about Apple starting
an
app store for Mac apps. I don't know, guys saying that independent developers don't have a means of distributing their apps. There is this thing that's been around for a few years now called the internet, and a lot of guys have been using that quite successfully to make a living from selling their Mac apps. So whether we'll see this, I have no idea. But
what was it before it was $99?
They had a very, very complicated structure where you could get in for $500 on the base, and it went up to about $2,000, which also gave you $2,500, I think, which also gave you a ticket to the WWDC. Yeah.
But also the $500 one gave you hardware discounts. So some people, if they were in the habit of buying lots of Apple hardware, it almost made sense for them just to sign up to be a developer to get the discounts.
Right. Yeah, although you were only allowed one or two of those, and the discounts weren't that great. Certainly, if you were in education, you weren't gonna, gonna do so.
But
so.
It's one of these things that if you were buying a Mac Pro or something a year, it probably added up to make sense, and also gets you into all the kind of developer forums and such. But now it's only $99, so it's pretty damn cheap. But you don't get the discounts,
and you don't get the discounts,
and you don't get a ticket.
No, you don't get a ticket.
Sorry, sorry for interrupting your pick. Now we're on to a very special pick. I think this is our first joint pick. It's really Shaquille's, but Chris was so lame that he wants to join in with Shaquille and claim this as his as well. But I'm going to let Shaquille take you through it.
Chris will do the free version of this. I'll do the paid one. Basically, I promised before that I wouldn't do another iPhone app, but cheap.
We know what your promises are like, but
no, I wasn't aware of this, and this was sort of, we became aware of this through our loyal listener Tam.
And hey, Tam.
Hello, Tam. It's an iPhone app called Word with Friends, and it's by a company called New Toy Inc. And all it is essentially a turn-based Scrabble type game. It's got over 500,000 players worldwide, and you can have up to 20 simultaneous games running with different people. And it's got push notifications so that when your opponent has made their move, you'll get a push notification to inform you of that, and then you can go ahead and make your move, or you can wait until you're ready. It's very, very addictive. I've been playing it for the last 4 or 5 days maybe. You can invite your friends through Facebook and Twitter. It's got a really nice interface, nice, simple to use, and works really well. The only problem I have with it is some dirty, cheating, sneaky buggers who use like really annoying words which make no sense, and yet they still, they're able to make lots of points off that.
Yeah, Thomas, it's really cheesing me off.
Yeah, it's cheesing me off too. The difference between the free one and the paid one is, I can't remember, I think Chris can tell us about that.
One costs money and one doesn't.
Well, I mean, yes. I mean, you've described the perfect app for me, Shaquille, except for I don't have £1.79 to spare.
Okay.
So I've decided, that I need the free version, and I just get shoved an advert between every single letter or word I put in, and that's the only difference.
Does that make your words longer?
Does it actually suggest really random words like "witch" without the H?
And now that one.
Yeah, what was that on some sort of Scrabble? No, that one was
because I was trying a whole time.
Winevergame.com.
Yes, okay. At this stage, I will admit that there was one word that I looked up on an anagram program.
That's shocking. So low.
But Ian, I'm sure you've used one on one of the words you put in.
Definitely not. In fact, I'm looking at your words right now.
Handbag.
And I'm looking at, was it coquette?
Yeah, that's the only one word, but it did earn me 79 points.
And as soon as that popped off, I was like, you're at it, boy.
But
coquette's a reasonable word.
I didn't know it, and I did look it up. It did end up, the key was on triple word and something like that.
It stood out. It stood out, and amongst all the other words, like and the.
In.
That he had looked that one up.
That is the only word, though, I have looked up, which was a pure accidental discovery. Yeah. Which would
happen? How do you make an accidental discovery?
Just by, because you put the word in and it tells you whether it's right or wrong.
Yeah, and then you play it
you've got
the
too
layer.
Much time in your hand.
Oh, I'm all for the
to be
I'm
honest,
the
I still
trial.
Think the worst is our loyal listener, Tam.
Tam.
Oh, he's
QI and double A and AE and all sorts of nonsense.
Maybe he's just played a bit of Scrabble before.
No.
And he knows
no.
all the double the two letter words.
So you're just not a hardened gamer like us that can't take the beating.
Any serious Scrabble player knows all the two letter words.
Mm.
But Ian, I want you to admit to one of your... I can't remember what it was.
Because I'm not going to admit to something I've not done.
You've used a checker once.
No, you're just a sore loser, boy.
I'm going to find that word and you're going to find that word.
Well, I think we should. I think we should move on before people start bringing out all the four-letter words.
So basically, we've all bought it. So you need to too, as well, Henry.
Yeah, that's
that. It's actually very good. The only thing I have done, I've turned off notifications because, as much as I like it, see when it's 11:45 and I'm sleeping.
Yeah. All right.
And it goes bling, and I look down, and it's like cheesy UK. Has taken his turn, and you're just like,
that's all right. You do it at like 6:50 in the morning.
Yeah. The reason being, I do it at 5:50 to wake you up because you woke me up the night before. So I then turned notifications off.
Here's an idea. How about we put our gamer names in the show notes and our listeners can challenge us to games?
Tell you what, when you do the write-up on the site, we'll put it in there.
Okay. You cheeky little...
I'll probably need to send you the password because it's been so long since you've logged in.
That's okay, my one password will have that, all the details in there.
Ah, fantastic.
And that was one of my picks from a long time ago.
Yeah,
I'm just trying to see it on the website, it's not there. Anyway, enough of the bitching.
Yeah, we've not had so much animated discussion about a pick for a very long time. So
that only shows you how good a pick it is.
Absolutely.
It's actually very good. And yeah. There's also a chess with friends, which I'll probably pick up tonight.
Yeah.
And give it a try.
Apparently, it crashes quite a lot at the moment, so I might just wait till it's been updated.
Why don't we just buy it tonight and find out, and we can report back next week?
I'll let you try it then.
I can't try it myself.
I don't like chess, so.
Oh, you can't cheat in that, though, can you? You can't
exactly.
Look up your next move.
how to beat everybody at chess.com. Oh, no!
No, it's anyway. Deepthought.com. That's where you go for all that chess cheating. Allegedly.
If you want to find out more, and you want to get a list of all our names so you can play Words with Friends with us, we're on digitaloutbox.com. And... we'd love to get any emails. Just one random one would really be useful.
Just one, please.
Just one. I was going to start singing just one Cornetto songs there. info@digitaloutbox.com if you want to email us. Twitter, we're on Digital Outbox. And Skype. Come on, I paid money for that. Send us a message on Skype.
Even if it's just Tam. Just leave us a message.
Just Tam giving us another rambling review, which I can edit down. I don't mind. You know, if you want to tell us how you can cheat at Words with Friends, give us that tutorial, Tam. Go on. I know you want to. Right, bloggers. Go on, Chris. Tell us about your blog.
chrishutchinson.org.uk. And I'm also on Twitter as CheesyUK. And on Words for Friends as CheesyUK.
Well, there you go. Henry.
TalkRhubarb.com/WordPress. TalkRhubarb and Twitter. And yeah, you may also be able to find me on Facebook.
Shaq.
My blog is at ShaquilleNaim.com.
Did you just look that up to remember what it was?
I was actually looking up.
Frequent blogger.
It's been so long. And I'm on Twitter as Shaq N. And I can't remember my Words with Friend name, so I'll put that up in the...
I think it was some gay Super Shacker nonsense.
Super Shacker or Super Shack, I can't remember.
Oh, somebody's been sending me a knocking vid invite. I wonder who that was. And my blog is END.net. I'm on Twitter as Shweeper, and I think I'm on Words with Friend as Shweeper.
You are.
And you're on as Super Shack.
Super Shack, there you go.
And to be honest, if you really want to play a cheater, then Tam Laras, TamLaras, the biggest dirty Words with Friend cheater out there that I know.
Even bigger than Chris.
Well
who isn't?
Chris. Ian, you used the word Zoic.
Zoic?
Did you Zoic?
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
I've not started yet.
I've never heard of it.
Is that like
Zoic?
Therefore,
you must have cheated.
So basically, because you're illiterate, you mean you're a cheater.
Effectively. Yes.
Anyway, seeing as you thought it was K Mellon, I'll let you off. On that note, it's a goodbye from me.
It is a goodbye from him.
Ta-da.
Bye. Bye.
Right, that's enough of a gap. Ah, Kim Ellen. Twisting my melons, man.